The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
In Williams Lake, British Columbia, how many have ever been there? Well, I better be careful because I never have been. You can talk to me later if I'm incorrect in some of this. But they tell me, I'm safe by saying that, right? They tell me that in Williams Lake, British Columbia, is this corporation that builds these awesome, majestic log homes and log lodges. You know how I know, through television. Because these people have become so famous for the construction of these wonderful buildings is they have their own television show. So I watch periodically the Timber Kings. You see, I grew up in a rural area. My father, for 45 years of his, well, more than that, for up till he was 45 years old, he was a lumberjack himself. And when I was knee-high to a hubcap, very young, before Dad went into another business, every Sunday afternoon after church, we used to go about 50 kilometers up into the woods, and we would feed the horses. Now, you know how far back that is. Because that was just before the machinery hit the lumber woods. So after the horses were gone, then the lumber, all of the heavy lumber equipment came in. Then, of course, later on, the big machines that one person could do many people's work, they came into the woods. But in the early days, my family and I, we just loved going Sunday afternoon. It was a big event for us. To go way up there and smell the trees and stop and roll around in the moss. We just loved it. So, of course, I'm biased toward watching this television program, The Timber Kings. And they build these beautiful lodges. Now, some of us cannot afford them, so we can look at them. And if you have one, I will not preach against it. If you invite me to look at it. And the interesting thing about the Timber Kings or the Pioneer Homes Corporation is that it's not only that they build these beautiful log homes, but they are very choosy about which logs they are going to be part of that product. And they will go either to a lumber yard, right? Or sometimes they will go right out into the forest with those with the chainsaws and say, we want this tree and this tree and this tree, because they have in their mind what the end product is going to be like. And so they will choose it and they will cut down these massive western cedar trees or whatever they use. And then they assemble them in one place, I think it is Williams Lake. They assemble them there just to be sure everything is proper and everything fits, and then they take it all apart again, and then they reassemble on the place where it's going to be much longer period of time. And really, I think these who are building and constructing these majestic buildings, they are like artisans. They can take a chainsaw and do things with a chainsaw that I can't even begin to think about how to do it. They are a master craftsman. They can develop a masterpiece. They have the image in their mind. They've met with people to consult. And by the time that log home is in the right place, all assembled, at least on the television shows, the owners walk through and they never cease to be amazed. This is better than I could have imagined. This is awesome. But it takes somebody that knows what they're doing to make that happen. They are master craftsmen. The scripture says, we are God's, what? Masterpiece. We are God's workmanship. Let's say it again. We are God's masterpiece. Let's say it. We are God's masterpiece. Now, if those in Williams Lake, British Columbia, that team that's assembled together can have such an ability and knowledge and experience to choose the proper trees, to mill the lumber the way they want it to be milled, and to assemble it in that place, and then to uplift it and take it by these massive trucks and put it in another place. And we are awed by what they can do. Can you imagine what God is doing when he says, we are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. Sometimes it's those who work with lumber. Sometimes it's somebody who they work in the medium of paint, maybe acrylics or oil paint, or maybe sometimes those street people who do these beautiful pictures of your image. Sometimes they work with charcoal, and it never ceases to amaze me. They can even make me look half decent, you see. Because when they look and when they see and they image what needs to go on that paper or that canvas, they are so skilled that they can apply it. And there's a lot goes behind it, a lot of ability to do something. Even some can do it very quickly. Then there are others who are musicians. They are really gifted to write a musical score. And when they sit down at the piano, do you want me to play the piano today? Maybe some other time. Or they get the guitar, whether it be acoustic or whether it be electric, when they get the guitar, they are so skilled at it and knowledgeable in it that they can take that music score, just images on the paper, and they make that live. So we may worship and we may praise. And we may enjoy life because of that person with that skill that has been able to put it on paper and then use an instrument to do that. There's many types of master artists. There's many types of people who can produce a masterpiece, all different arenas of life. I'm not a great athlete, as you probably have heard. But every now and again, when a series gets exciting, I begin to watch. Are you watching? Now, my wife texted me. She'll be here in 2 weeks' time, by the way. She didn't leave me. We just got this grandbaby arrived early, and we're trying to figure everything all out. So that'll be settled soon. The grandbaby has arrived. So now I need to go and get my wife so she arrives. But this matter of being an artist, gifted by God to do this, they produce such wonderful products for our good. And when I think about this scripture, you may turn there, Ephesians chapter 2, that says we are, verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. And then the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us. Just think of the word created, would you? You know, sometimes we say that person is very creative. Well, I know what we mean, but none of us have the ability to create. Only God has the ability to what? Create. But he gives us the ability to take what he's put into us and make it fantastic. Because our God is somebody who is able to take that which doesn't exist and bring it into what? Now that's real creation, isn't it? To take something that's not and make it something that is. That's God. And it says here, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. Now, if you read the original language, which is Greek, God is emphasized. It says, it's something like this. We are God's masterpiece. So, you see, anytime we have an ability to accomplish something, we best be quick to return the credit to who? To God. Anytime he uses us in his will for whatever purpose, anytime he helps us to do good for someone else, we best realize we are God's masterpiece. Now, let's just deal with a couple of things here today. A masterpiece is a beautiful word. You might have come into this auditorium today and you say, Pastor Les, I've had a terrible month. Maybe it's been longer than that. And you just don't feel that you're worth anything. You just wonder, why am I even here on planet Earth? And you might be wrestling with your value. Who am I anyway? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Does anyone care? Would it make a difference if I were not here? So sometimes we don't realize we are God's what? Masterpiece. He's working in you. He's working through you. He's working in me. He's working through me. And you know something? Sometimes God works on me that he might work through me. And it might be today that you're feeling somewhat down, somewhat discouraged, somewhat excluded. It might be because we need to listen carefully to God as he works on us so he might work through us. I think sometimes, is anyone listening, by the way? Raise your right hand. I think sometimes Almighty God has to work so much on us and in us that he's hindered from working through us. We need to get used to surrendering to God. We need to get used to walking in the forgiveness of God. We need to get used to listening to God so that he not only works in us and on us, but he works what? Through us, so that there's a masterpiece produced for his glory. But let us consider something. When these timber kings, that's what they're called, when the timber kings go out and they choose this tree and that tree and they choose all of that, they really have quite a solid raw material to work with. And the beautiful thing about their way of building the log homes or the log lodges is that sometimes they leave almost all of the tree intact. You ever notice that? Right down sometimes to some of the root system. Because they know even that tree that they choose is going to fit in that place. And what that challenges me on is God is very specific in working in our lives. He knows who I am. And he knows where I ought to be positioned. And he said, and these timber kings, they choose the proper raw material. It's the same with a painter or a sculptor. They will choose that material that will produce the best product. Did you ever think about what God begins with when he chooses us? Did you ever think about that? That Almighty God wants to make us into a masterpiece. Did you ever think about what he has to work with? Let me tell you what he has to work with. It's quite amazing what he can do with. Are you ready? What God can do with very little. He doesn't have the straightest of the trees. He doesn't have the biggest of the lumber. He doesn't have that medium of paint that's just the proper mixture. He doesn't have the music score that's just right. No, look what it says. And I will give you the word of God today as to what God begins with, the raw material. Look at it, please, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. By the way, my computer collapsed yesterday, so nothing on the screen. Relax. It's in the shop, maybe. Almost depend upon the Holy Ghost. Look what it says, Ephesians 2. This is the raw material with which God is building a masterpiece. Look, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Once you were dead, say the word dead, please. Dead. Isn't that good raw material to work with? He said, once you were what? Dead. No life. So he looks and he discovers, here I am, and I'm dead. I'm not a living timber. I'm dead. And not only that, he said, once you were dead because of your disobedience. and your many sins. Just think that over. God didn't begin with much. We were dead. And it says here, we were disobedient, and we had many what? Sins. You know what sin is? The image of sin, sin means missed the mark. We have missed the mark. You kind of picture when the word sin is brought up, I picture this target, you know, with the bullseye. You know what I'm saying? The bullseye and then the rims, there's a target. And I step back here and I have my bow and arrow and I pull back and I let the arrow fly. I don't hit the bullseye. I don't hit any of the rings. I don't even hit the target. Step back a little, brother. It's going to go your way. No, you can stay. You see, I miss the target altogether. That's literally what the word sin means. Missed the target altogether. And even in some countries where archery is a big deal, they still call out, if you miss the target, somebody who's watching calls out, sin. Missed it. And look what the master builder, look what the master craftsman, look what the master developer says. I'm going to work those who are dead, dead in sins. Dead in sins means the only thing they're alive to is doing what God doesn't want. They live, and we live, and we lived. Just in a sphere of rebellion, a sphere of disobedience. That's the raw material. But let's go a little further. It says here, you were dead because of disobedience and sins. You used to live in sin. Live. That was your life. You might say, no, I was quite good. Well, you can fool some people some of the time. But we can't fool God any of the time. Because if we haven't sinned in deed, we sinned in thought. And God says you were dead. You missed the target. Because when the standard is the holy God, we've all missed it. And then he says this. This is the raw material. And he says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Obeying the what? Devil. Boy, that's quite heavy, isn't it? You see, sometimes we think we can disobey God and live the way we want to live, and it's just between me and myself. But it never is. We're either serving God or we're serving the devil. There's no neutral ground in life. And it says here, the devil, he's the prince of the power of the what? Air. This version says, he's the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us. Isn't that interesting? This is Paul who writes here. The great church planter of the first century. But even he says, we all lived in that life until a conversion came. For him, it was a Damascus Road experience. It was a very pointed and very dramatic. For some of us, the conversion to Christ was a bit more quiet, but still it was definitive. And he says here, all of us used to live that way. Do you have a used to in your life? But it's not the same as it used to be. Oh, God, help us to be able to say, I had a used to be. But something has changed. He said, we used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So the raw material that God begins with, you and I, we are dead in sins. We have missed the mark. We are disobedient. Mind, heart, action, attitude, approach, actions. So when he looks at it, and I consider, Lord, you didn't have much to begin with, did you? And he says, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. But thank God, we have the next verse, verse 4. Verse 4. It says this, but God is so rich in mercy. Mercy means he doesn't give us what we deserve. That's what mercy means. He does not give us. He restrains himself. He does not give us what we deserve. Thank God for that. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the what? From the dead. How does that impact me? Where can we find somebody who has the power to raise the dead? Who only can do that? God. God. Where can we find somebody that's artistic enough, that has the skill to take such meager raw material and begin to make a masterpiece out of it? Who has the knowledge to do that? Who knows you so intimately, past, present, and future, where you were born and how you've been living and who you are, your genetic, everything. Who knows you so intimately that he can take that little and make it great? That he can take the less and make it better? Well, only God can do that, amen? Only God can do that. And then I would ask the other question, who even cares enough to be involved in our lives? Who cares enough? You know, sometimes when we see somebody that's struggling or they're not like us, we don't want involved. You know, we just don't want involved. There's a lack of compassion. Who can we find that cares enough to love the world with all of its shortcomings? It is who? It is God. Then it says this. Let's get a few words here. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. Amen? Only by God's grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. God can take this brokenness, this ill-prepared material. And because his dear son was crucified for our what? Sins. He died on the cross for our sins. And when he took our place on that tree, then the Father can look down on us and see, okay, now I may come and begin a masterpiece. Because my Son paid the price for our sins. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Have you stepped into that reality? Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. Make it personal. Thank you that you rose from the dead for me, Lord, and come into my life and become my Savior. I have missed the mark, but you haven't. So I need you. And it says here, it says in this scripture, it says, he raised us up from the dead with Christ and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. The incredible wealth of his grace, that he sees this and says, you know something? I'm going to make something special out of this. Because I'm wise enough, I'm powerful enough, and I love enough. And that's you today. And that's me today. And he begins this beautiful work of making a masterpiece. Then it says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You know the word saved means rescued us. Saved just means rescued. Sin means I missed the target. Saved means he rescued me. I was going down for the third time in that ocean, never to come up again. And he threw a life preserver. You see, for us to be saved by God and be beginning this process of masterpiece and then take us on and replant us in heaven, reposition us in heaven, for God to be able to do that, we have to experience his grace personally. And the word saved means he threw a life preserver and we grabbed it. You see, unless God comes from the outside in, we're lost. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot just be self-made. God must come from the outside in. There's nobody else can save us. But thank God he has. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, what? Begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The Father sent the Son from the outside to here. You see? The Father sent the Son from there to here because nobody here can save our never dying souls except Jesus. But he's done it. He's done it. For by God's grace you have been saved. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let me just capture it again quickly. Instead of having that amazing raw product to produce a masterpiece, he chose to work with you and I. And I'm some glad he did. That's a Far Eastern expression, some glad. It means I'm very glad. That my dear friends today, none of you have gone so low that God cannot go lower. None of you have sinned so many sins that the blood of Christ can't forgive you. None of you have had such a horrendous background that he can't come and wrap his arms of love around you and begin to make out of you a masterpiece. Allow him to do that. And for some of you today might be a fresh beginning. It says here, we are. The we are those who've seen their need. I'm a sinner that missed the target. The we are those who realize I have somebody who took the perfect one, died for the imperfect. You believe that? And you have responded from your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm sorry for my sins. Thank you that you paid for them all by your precious blood. And Lord, come into my life and begin that masterpiece construction. And he will. Because whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. So simple. Call. Call. So it says, we are. What tenses are? This is deep. What tenses are? Present. We are. You see, when we come to Christ, he begins that masterpiece work. And we are his. This month, God either sent things your way or allowed them to come. Do you believe it? There's no real second cause on earth. There is God. And either he sends things directly or he allows them for his ultimate purposes to make a masterpiece out of us. And we resist so much instead of surrender. But he keeps working. He keeps chipping away because he sees they are going to be a beautiful, increasingly masterpiece. A work of art. So we are God's masterpiece. I noticed with the Timber Kings, I'm going to send them a note this week and ask them to give a donation to this church because of free advertisement. If you know any of them, just tell them to write a check. Nothing under $100,000. But I've noticed with these artists, they build these beautiful, majestic buildings. Then they almost always do something special. And I've noticed this. They will have either one of them will take this chainsaw with this large long blade. And they'll take a log, maybe the end of a log, and they'll start working at it. And out of that will come this beautiful eagle. Special for that house. Special for everyone who visits. Or they will take, like, just a stump. Just a stump. And they'll take that chainsaw and they'll start to, and a beautiful, if you can call it that, bear will come out of it. For some it's a coyote, for some it's whatever. You see, they do something special. For some of it is just that log that is different. You see, when it says in the scripture, we are God's masterpiece, the we is collective, the great church of Christ. But it also has a specificity to it. Every Christian, everyone who knows Christ, you are that special carving. You are unique to God. You do not have to be like somebody else. You are who you are and what God is making you. How tiresome it is when a Christian tries to be like that other Christian. You are who you are. And you bathe in that. And he has carved you and he's carving you unique. Let me say this, the kingdom of God and the church of Christ needs you. This church needs you. May I get personal right now? Any opposed? This church is 60 years old. It's been a good 60 years. God has done great things. Do you want the best days to be yet to come? Well, get off the bleachers of cynicism and criticism and get down on the messy field. Cease to be a spectator and become a player. Now, you're not like this, but some are like the old Muppets. Those two old guys sitting up in the balcony who know so much about so much and are given to criticism. Now, you're not like that. Oh, a couple of people. You're not like that. But my dear friends, this church needs you. This city needs you. And this city needs this church. God planted this church 60 years ago on purpose, intentionally. And I encourage you today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow that belief with be baptized. Believe and be baptized and become an active member of this congregation. Some are saying, I'm going to do something somewhere, sometime with somebody. You'll never do it. It's just chatter. Get a hold of what is here and what is now and seek God and take your next steps. Because when God says, We are, when Scripture says we are God's masterpiece, it's always in community. We're unique, but we are we. It's always in community. It bothers me when we who have been raised up from nothing think we become experts at what others should be doing. That bothers me. We are not experts at knowing what others should be doing. We should be surrendered ourselves to the Lord who wants to do through us. A big difference. It bothers me as pastor that we go month after month after month, no one is ever born again. Are you content with that? Am I content with that? In a city of 70,000 and north and south of us, another 30,000, 100,000 souls. The Son of God has come to seek and save the what? Lost. Does he have anyone to assist him in that? You see, you are a masterpiece of God. He wants to use you for his purposes. He's chosen you to be that special eagle or whatever. Not just that people would look at you, but that people would realize if God can do it for him, for her, he can do it for me. So, I challenge us all today. We are God's masterpiece. He is working in us and through us and on us. God help us to help him to make the task joyful. May God humble us to never forget the raw material we were when he first found us. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the what? The humble. So we thank God today that he's wise enough, powerful enough, and loving enough, and patient enough to continue to work on us and through us. And if you assemble with us next week, I would like to help you to understand what it means to know what your gifts are and what your skills are, so that we may fully cooperate with the master artisan and become corporately and individually all that he would have us to be now and as the months and years go on. Father in heaven, thank you that you discovered us broken, ill-equipped, ill-prepared, undeveloped, but you loved us enough to take us and begin that work of craftsmanship. Thank you that you love us and you love the church. You long to work in and on and through us. Now, Father in heaven, I pray if there's anyone here without Christ today, might they simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. My dear friend, if you've never invited Christ into your life, do it today. I'd love to speak with you after the service, encourage you. And then my Christian, my brother and sister in Christ, delayed obedience is disobedience. God has been speaking to you about the next step. Take it. Take it. Father in heaven, I pray that for this congregation, cause us to be all that you would have us to be. I pray for individuals in this congregation. Oh God, take us the next step. Show us our gifts, our talents, our abilities. Show us love for children, love for youth, love for our city, love for the diverse friends and co-workers that we have. Oh, God, give us a little sense of your spirit. So here we are, Lord. Take our lives. And I pray that this week would be a wee bit different because we've heard from you and we become much more cooperative in the development of this great masterpiece. In Christ's name, amen.